You ever have one of those days where your body just doesn't seem to work right? It's one of those days where my mouth doesn't work right and I can't get words out right. And I walked into a door this morning. Some people were standing around. I nailed that thing. It kind of hurts. I mean, I walked into it about this much. I didn't just clip it, but I nailed it. It's just one of those days. And Chandra's thinking, that's every day. What are you talking about? We're going to start in Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to end up in Matthew chapter 6. I want us to think back 2 weeks ago. Does anybody remember what the message was about? The shepherd, that's right. Wayne and Fern should know. They've heard it twice already. That's right, it was about the shepherd. We talked about Psalms 23 and John 10, 1 through 6. The voice of the shepherd, we talked about that story about Chandra's and my friends, who she was massaging her brother-in-law, thought it was her husband, and her mother-in-law wondered what she was doing, but she just didn't recognize his voice. And so we left with the question, do you know or can you recognize your shepherd's voice? Can you recognize him when he calls? So it's been 2 weeks, and my question for you is, did anybody spend time these past 2 weeks listening to their shepherd's voice, reading his words, learning his character in silent communion? I want you to think about that. You don't have to raise your hands. I don't want anybody to be embarrassed. I want you to think about that. Did you spend time getting to know your shepherd these past 2 weeks? Now, I'm just going to assume that everybody had a super easy week. We had extra time to get done all the things that we didn't expect to. And so it was very easy for you to spend that time developing your relationship, right? Did anybody have a week like that? I was going to say, if somebody does, I want to know your secret. For how many people, this is a true statement, that we're just busy? Does anybody have any reasons why we should be busy right now? Probably not. If you're a farmer, you're not doing anything this time of year. You're sitting at home, right, Ray? Sitting at home pacing the floor waiting to get on the combine because it's harvest. If you work for a co-op or anything related to farm progress, it's harvest and you are busy. If you're a teacher, I believe this still qualifies as the beginning of the year. You're probably busy all year, right, Rosalie? If you're a teacher, you're very busy right now. This isn't summer break. If you're a student, it's the beginning of the year. And if you're in high school, man, you had to go to homecoming, which means you had to find a date, and you had to find all of this. You had to get your dress. You had to get your friends. You had to get your limousine that mom and dad paid for. Maybe not. Not in the Martin household. So you're busy, and if you're doing anything with the church, if you're on a committee or anything that has to do with leadership development and growth, which you should be, then you are busy. Let's talk about the busyness of our lives, shall we? A lot of people don't like to talk about this, but don't want to be reminded, but I do. I was talking to a couple of people this last month about, you know, they asked me how I was doing. I said, you know, I'm really busy. This was supposed to be a slow month. October was supposed to be a slow month. September was supposed to be a big month because we started all these different programs and did all these things. And October is supposed to slow down, but it didn't. We were talking about, I think I was talking with Royal and said, you know, if that storm hadn't hit up at Quaker Heights, this fall wouldn't have been near as busy as it was, but it did. And we had Bob Martin's funeral, and you can't account for that. And so it's just, does it ever seem that you just can't get a break? Anybody else? We talked about that in our Sunday school class this morning, how you work so hard at clearing your calendar and stuff, but don't things still come up? Isn't there always something to keep you busy? I'm sure you experienced this too. You just can't get a break. And so I finally took a break a couple weeks ago, and I hadn't taken a break for a year. And so I had a year's worth of filing to file in my desk since we moved. We filed it. We have a stack. That's the filing. We also have a filing drawer with all the little filing things, and you file everything in them. So we ended up moving the desk downstairs, and I said, I'm not just going to put everything away. So I rearranged the folders. We got rid of all the old tax stuff. We brought in the new. We filed everything. And I've been working on our basement a lot, just trying to put things away because we have kids, and that's where they play. And so it took a long time, but as I was working in that back room, putting the desk together, I could hear outside, I could hear commotion because I was watching the boys at this point. But, you know, Tyler and Jaron, they play pretty good until someone starts crying. But I heard this little boy saying, "Can I do it? Yes, I can." And then I hear him run. I'd hear him pound into his cardboard house. See, when we moved with my old job, I used to collect all these big boxes, big vanity boxes for when we did bathrooms, and these are big. And I thought, when we moved, these boxes are going to be great because I can put all the small things in here. I can put all the light things, and it'll just be in one box. It'll stack easy. Turns out, when you put a lot of light things in a really big box, it gets pretty heavy. The good news is I never had to lift them. But when we moved, Chandra's sister came with us for a little bit, and she made the boys a house while Chandra and I were trying to put together our house. She made them a house out of these boxes, and it was probably at least from there to here, and you had one that was down here, and then it came up like this, and then it had a door, and it had a door and windows, and she cut a hole in the inside so they connected. And when we would play, this would be their hideout, and we've used it for Nerf Wars. You know, it's kind of a fort and that sort of deal. But we've been using this thing for a year, and after a year's time, you can imagine how my boy plays. It's still standing. And so I'm in there, and I hear him saying, "Can I do it? Yes, I can." And if you're a parent, does anybody know where that comes from? Bob the Builder. That didn't take long, Jolene. And what he was doing was he was trying to move this house into the back little room where I was. And part of the time, Jaron was in it. So we've got this little 3.5-year-old running, pounding into this thing, trying to move it, saying, "Can I do it? Yes, I can." And so what he ended up doing is I'm sitting back there, and I'm not watching it, but I can hear it. I know what's going on. What happens is he can push this thing as long as it's on the concrete because it's smooth, and the box is all broken down. And you know how broken down boxes are. They catch on carpet and that sort of thing. Well, we've got some carpet remnants and some rugs and some strips of carpet, and he was having to roll those up because he was determined he was going to get it back into my room to be where I was. And so he comes pulling in this big rug. It had to be as heavy as the box. Pulls it in and shoves it into my room. "Whoo! I'm working, Dad." "You sure are, bud." And I'm like, "I don't care. This is keeping him busy." Goes out. And he rolls up the big carpet, and I keep hearing, "Can I do it? Yes, I can." And he pushes this whole box over here. And then at the end, he and Jaron just end up demolishing it, jumping on it, like Extreme Home Makeover, you know. This is the part where they destroy the house. The problem was Jaron was in it as Tyler was destroying it. So they're pushing it around, and as he struggled, I just listened to his little determined heart. As he moved that box, that boy, if he wants to get it done, he will muscle up enough strength or figure out a way to do it. And as I listened to his little heart, I thought about all of my tasks, and I thought about all of my work that I have every week, and I thought about all of my busyness. I thought about all of my everyday duties. Everybody has everyday duties, don't you? Everybody has just plain old everyday business on top of all of our other busyness. In Philippians chapter 4:13, and I was listening to say, you know, "Can I do it? Yes, I can." I think that comes from, I think Bob the Builder stole that from Jesus, or from Paul, actually. It just popped into my heart, "I can do all things through him who gives me strength." And I was thinking about how I used to see that verse and how I see it now and how it's changed. And it's just, I've come to know it differently over the years, because I used to be fixed on something, a task to be done, and I would claim that with God I can do it because the Bible says so. Has anybody ever done that? "I can do it because Jesus says that with his help I can get it done, so I'm going to get it done." And so, like a blind locomotive, and you can ask my wife, she will testify, I would plow the rails and I would either accomplish my task and then I would claim by the grace of God, or somehow I would derail. Maybe God would stick his foot on the rails or something. I don't know. But either way, I would derail, and then I would get frustrated, and I would say, "What are you slowing me down for? I'm doing your works here. Am I not working for you? You're supposed to give me the strength. Why am I collapsing right now?" So you can imagine my dialogues with God in my younger 20s, because I'm so much in my older 20s now. I think that I was a little too bold for my britches sometimes when I talked to God. And what took me the longest time to understand is that the scripture, "doing all things through him who gives me strength," didn't come from a self-indulged 25-year-old who, even though I wanted to serve God, was still serving myself. Let's read Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 10, and we'll go through 13. Paul says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you have had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. These words were written from a man whose life was completely and 100% given to God, whether in chains or torture, whether in life or death. The things that Paul was saying he could do through God were the things that were for God, right? Is there anything that you read in here about Paul after his conversion that doesn't say this man's life was 100% always for God? All of his ministries, all of his writings, they weren't about him because of the things that he endured. The amazing things that he did and the amazing things that he endured could have only been done by a person who had 100% completely rendered himself completely to God to be his instrument. And the strength that Paul possessed could have only come for God so that Paul could accomplish God's works, not Paul's. These scriptures come from Paul explaining to the Philippians that he can endure the chains, he can endure the sickness, he can endure the dangers because it is for God. And God who gives him strength to do it. And the thing that came to my mind when I thought about that and I thought about my request to God is, my God is not petty. Our God is not petty. Would anybody say that he is? I dare you. We'll see how your car ride home goes. But how easy it is for me to be that way, self-indulged and wanting God to give me the strength to do all the things that I want to do, right? All the things that I want to do. Things that I convince myself that are for Him, this is what we do. We convince ourselves that the things that we want to do for us are really for God, and that is where we have to be careful. And so we ask God for strength, but God is not stupid. Shh. I think sometimes that we think He doesn't see everything or that He doesn't actually know the root of our hearts. Even when I didn't know the root of my heart, God did. And along with Him, I think Chandra did too. I think He kind of tipped her off about that. But when I was in school, and I bring this up all the time about what I wanted to do with my life, I went to school to be a worship leader, and I went to school to learn music. Why? In the root of my heart, I wanted to be famous. I wanted to be acknowledged. I wanted to be on stage because that's where I loved it. I wanted people to know who I was. But, no, I wouldn't tell God that. I said, no, I'm going to do this for you, God. I want to sing your songs and I want to do your thing. So basically what I was saying was, God, give me the strength to become famous and rich and do everything I want to do. And along the way, I may play some songs about you. How's that sound? Our God is not petty. So as I was watching Tyler do all that work, I thought, you know, that was really me. I see him doing all this work to push around a cardboard box, and after all was done and spent, what was accomplished? Absolutely nothing of worth. Absolutely nothing of worth. Here's Paul, who's calling to God for strength to preach the word at any cost. At any cost. And he knows what that means. And here I am calling to God for strength for fame and fortune, disguised as a heart who really does want to do those things for God. And I did want to do those things for God. But you know what? I wanted to do it more for myself than him. Now, doesn't that sound like a ridiculous thing to say to God? Dear God, give me strength so that I can be famous and sing songs and I'll mention you along the way. Doesn't that seem ridiculous to say to God? But you know what? That's what I said to God. That's what I said to God. And sometimes I didn't know it when it came about that I did know it. There was very much humility and humbleness involved with that. Until I was forced to examine the whole of my heart and not just my good intentions, these were the things I seriously was calling on the Lord for strength. Let us remind ourselves of our purpose. We are meant to live for. That's your cue. We are meant to live for Him, God, all words that are God. We are meant to live for God. But how much of our living is truly for His kingdom? How much is really for us? How much is truly for His kingdom, and how much is really for us? It makes me ashamed thinking of all those prayers that I did asking God for strength so that I could live for me. My goodness. So as I think about my busyness and I examine my calendar, it makes me sad when I see all the things that I do for me, and probably 80% of my life's busyness has been as a result of living for me. And I think that's true with most people. Our busyness comes as a result of living for us. I'm going to ask you this, and you all know the answer, so shout it out. What is the number one excuse for someone if you ask them to become involved in something or support something that involves any amount of time? That's right, hold back, you know, that's a hard answer. I'm too busy, I don't have time. Isn't that? If I could put some money in the jar every time I heard that. I'm too busy. I'm too busy, and you know, maybe then our response should be why. If someone says I'm too busy, do we ever take the time to ask why? Well, why are you too busy? Something I'd like to start doing. I'm too busy. Well, why are you too busy? And if you have ever been asked to help or become a part of something and you hear the words I'm too busy come out of your mouth, which I have heard those words come out of my mouth, then you need to ask yourself why. What is the cause of my busyness? Is the cause me or God? Because there's a big difference between being busy for God and being busy for me. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Let's look at the results. Chapter 6, verse 19. We'll read through 21. It says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Do we realize that each and every one of us has a storehouse up in heaven? Do we realize that? Do we think about that? Each and every one of you has a storehouse up in heaven that God is just waiting to fill, and He wants to fill it so bad. And living for me doesn't fill that storage house. It doesn't fill that treasure chest. If you were busy for me, myself, and I, you're working for the wrong Trinity. That's pretty good. I came up with that this morning. Well, maybe I didn't come up with it, but it was brought to my attention this morning. Yeah. You're working for the wrong person. Yeah. Yeah. I think of all that I tried to do for me, and all I see is a little boy using up all his energy, all of his talents, all of his time, trying to push around a useless, empty cardboard box. Because if all I do is live for me, then that's all my treasures are going to be. And my works are as empty to God as that box. And on top of that, even if you do works, what does Paul teach in Corinthians? If you do works without this, love, if you are not doing those works because you love God and He's at the core of your heart, like a clanging cymbal, or a resounding gong, just making noise. That's the other thing that we need to think about. It's not enough to just do works, but we have to do them because we love God. No matter who you are, no matter what your job or situation, and this is something that, one of those things that my wife would tell me, if God was truly in the center of your heart, you would be reflecting Him right now. I hate to hear your wife say that. But that's the truth. No matter who you are, no matter what your job or your situation, if God is truly at the core of your heart, then all of your works will reflect Him. Is that true? Somebody call me out if it's not. Amen. I was sitting in a Wednesday night Bible study, which is awesome, by the way. If you're not coming, you should come. And Mike Martin, we were talking about being busy, and he said, it's not enough to be busy. I thought, you know, that is so true. Thoreau's famous quote is, it's not enough to be busy, so too are the ants. What does that mean? It means, who are we busy about? What are we busy about? Are we busy about us, or are we busy about God? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have heard your message this morning, and I just pray that you would just marinate our hearts with it, Father God, and give us the courage to do these things, because it is hard. It's hard to not live for ourselves, because we're in a world that teaches us that you've got to live for yourself. Please help show us the light and the way that you would have us live, to reflect you, to have you at the core of our hearts, to not be too busy for you, and to store up our treasures in heaven as you desire us to. In your name we pray, amen.